and they get crushed, torn down, destroyed. Sometimes we don't even make it through the day as it was planned. And it's rough. I was telling James yesterday, James Little, we were talking yesterday. Sometimes those plans in your life get foiled just by those people who live in your own household. Sometimes being a little brother is just not that great. I said, I had great plans when I was little. Hang out with my brother and play with my brother. Little did I know he'd get me all kinds of trouble just because I played with him. I explained to James there was one time my parents were gone for the weekend. My brother was in high school, junior in high school. I was in like seventh grade. None of my friends had a driver's license. Just keep that in mind. My brother thought it would be a great idea to have a bunch of people over. None of my friends had a driver's license. So you can imagine who these people were that were coming over. Not my friends. They go away. Like, and sometimes you got to wonder how smart siblings are. Like our neighbor, we lived in a neighborhood that it was an open door policy. We could just walk into anybody's house at any time we wanted. My brother thought it'd be a great idea to have a bunch of people over like that aren't going to find out. And so we, you know, and it wasn't anything crazy, but it was like 20 guys came over. We played football all day and whatever. And Sunday afternoon, whenever mom and dad get home and like, so I heard you had a bunch of people over. First off, my brother looked astonished that they figured this out. You know, for, there's like tire tracks all in the side yard in a driveway. And so my brother gets like an hour-long lecture. Then my parents come into my room, and they're like, and you're grounded for a month. I do. And I'll never forget, my dad's like, did you play ball? I say, yeah. He's like, then you're grounded for a month. Like, so I'm supposed to just let him. I'm not going to stand up to my brother. I'm not going to stop him from anything. Like, if I tried to stop him, he was going to beat me up. Like, that's not fair. Like, sometimes others, siblings, are not fun. They're tough. But it's not always being the younger brother that's tough. Sometimes it's being the older sibling that's tough. I know this story has probably been told before, but, you know, when Isaiah was a little kid, I mean like three at the house, when Jenny and I are downstairs and we're watching TV and we can, and it's like 10 o'clock at night. Kids are supposed to be in bed and you just hear this. Okay, well, the dog's laying here and we're both downstairs. I kind of listen a little bit later. And then you start hearing. That is a sink. What is he doing? And then. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the bottom of the stairs. And I'm watching. All of a sudden, I see this little guy come running to the bathroom. I was like, what are you doing? Drops everything, right? Just looking at me like, I'm cleaning? Like, right. Jenny and I go upstairs. We get into his bedroom. There's Kleenexes, wet Kleenexes all over, like, everything. His stuffed animals are all soaked. He's like, I'm cleaning my stuffed animals. He's got squirt guns, power washer, right? He's getting it all clean. And we're like, dude, sit him down. He gets in trouble. Got a spanking. He's, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I won't do this again. Like, okay, get everything cleaned up. We put him in bed. Okay, I love you, buddy. I love you too. Hey, Dad? Yeah. Chloe might be wet. We walk in. Chloe's not wet. Chloe's wet. The bed's wet. Her, like, we changed the sheets. We had to change her. But, I mean, she's soaked. Sometimes siblings are rough. Sometimes we take the consequences of our siblings unbeknownst to our own understanding of what is even going on. Those weren't my plans. Sometimes we feel that way. We get angry because that wasn't in my plans. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 22 says, and in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which, listen, a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Guess what? None of this is our plan. That's our first problem. We make, and none of it should be our plan. If we're tired of having our plans broken, quit making plans, start living by God's plan. That's a tough concept. We get frustrated because things don't go the way we anticipated. Quit trying to force things to go against God's will. Accept what God's given to you. Don't be mad when things, when a curveball comes. Accept it. Hit it. Move on. It's difficult. Philippians 2, 1 through 5 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And your relationships with one another have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. It's not saying you and I think alike because we have the same common mutual interest here on earth. You and I need to think alike because our minds are set on what Christ's mind was set upon. Our plans should be the same because they're Christ's plans. Our hopes, our dreams, our ambitions should be the same because they're Christ's hopes, dreams, and ambitions. And when we set our hopes and dreams upon what Christ has set out for us, disappointment won't have any part of our life. I know that's easy to say. That's an easy thing to say. And most of you know my birthday was yesterday. Most difficult day of the year for me. But how do I act and respond to it? How do I move on from it? How do I treat others because of it? Do I treat my life with sorrow and woe is me? Or do I look at myself and say, I have the goal of heaven. Christ is my leader, and I will follow him, and he shall get me through anything in front of me. Dreams are big, and dreams can be broken. Genesis chapter 37, we read about Joseph and his dreams. We're going to start in verse 1 there. It says, now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his other children because he was the son of old age. Also, he made him a tunic, a coat of many colors, which we all know that story. The coat of many colors that Joseph got. How many siblings felt like my brother or sister, they're more loved than I am? When my kids always come to me, they're like, you love Chloe more than I do, more than me. I'm like, yeah. And then Isaiah's like, what? You said it. I didn't want to disappoint you. And Chloe, oh, you give him everything. You like him more than me. Yeah. Oh, you don't have to say it. Well, we sometime in our life, we do feel like our siblings are better liked than me. No offense, Andrew. Corbett's just been more popular. I'm sorry. Just the way it goes. You know, sometimes we just feel that. Competition's everywhere. Their grades were this, your grades are that. They did this in sports, you did that in sports. They play 7 instruments, you only play 1. You can't sing, they're fantastic. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him, in verse 4, more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. Imagine that, going to your siblings. You know what, I've got this dream. And then everybody around you is like, yeah, I really got even more. That's a tough thing to swallow. But I don't want us to necessarily look at this from Joseph's perspective on Joseph's dream. Maybe we're the siblings that hate the favorite son. How are we treating our siblings? And I'm not talking about just in our immediate family of what we talk about our family here on earth. I'm talking about our church family. Don't look at it as woe is me. Are you being the woe to your family member? Struggles can be difficult. How we handle struggles mean a lot of different things to different people, and it shines throughout the world and people see it. We've been talking about in my class on Sunday mornings the last 2 weeks about struggles with faith and the challenges that it puts in front of you. But we're going to move on. And Joseph said, in verse 5, now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers. They hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. Could you imagine your littlest brother, who is already liked more than everybody else in the family, as you feel, and he's coming, hey, listen to this dream. In my dream, you guys all bow down to me. Isn't that great? Whatever. That's not a fun thing to listen to. That's going to make him more angry. And his brother said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more, not just because he had a dream, but now they got to worship him in his dream. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, can you imagine, you've already told him this one dream. And now he comes and says, hey, I got this other dream. Let me share this one with you. They're probably shutting him off before he even starts on this. They don't want to listen to any of this. He says, I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I both and your brothers come and to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. First off, how we say things mean things. How we talk to each other means things. The way Joseph talks to his brothers, I'm not saying is in a bad way in any way, shape, or form. But I do want us to keep that in mind. The tone in which we talk, the words we use, set, as I talked about this morning, a preconceived idea going forward with the rest of the conversation. Nothing's worse than, and everybody's done it here, I'm sure, at some point in time. Besides possibly my father-in-law, because I think he's still on a flip phone. But you get that text, and you're like, are they mad? What does that mean? Why did they capitalize that? This is unbelievable. And then you text back to all caps, and it's like, I'll show them. Or there was just today, Cassie made me a strawberry bisque. Chilled strawberry bisque, which I was longing for. She made it for my birthday for me. And it was good. It was very good. But she sent me a text. And the text simply, I sent her a picture, eating the strawberry bisque. I said, it's great. The text simply responded, doesn't mean it's not double. I'm like, what are you talking about? And her response was, sorry, doesn't mean it wasn't edible. My phone corrected it. It's like, but there are too many times in our lives we don't want to ask the question, well, what'd you mean? Because A, we're too busy caught up in being mad. Or B, maybe we're afraid of what they actually meant. So when and how and the tone and the way and the words that we use to talk to each other mean things. But on the flip side of that, the way we listen to people means things. Do we walk into a conversation ready to listen to somebody that they are already going to be insulting to us? Could you imagine? That's why I said, could you imagine what their thoughts were the next time Joseph came to them and said, guys, I had another dream. They instantly knew, this is bad. Our brother's horrible. This is crazy. They didn't even know what it was about at that time. The first time they were already upset before he told them. And then after he told him about the dream, that made him hate him even more. So when they came to him with a second dream, oh man, this is just horrible. Dreams get broken. His family, his brothers, didn't like his dreams. Our loved ones, our friends, our family sometimes will tear us down because they don't understand what we're going through. They may not see or want to see or want to understand the bigger picture. They see it as an attack on them when really it's something about us. Or vice versa, sometimes we try to make it about us when it's really might be something bigger than that. His brothers all felt, we get no respect around here. They're all a bunch of Rodney Dangerfields walking around in that family, all because their brother gets a colorful coat and has these dreams about them bowing down to him. Do we do that? You know, in the story Dave brought up this morning, and I was glad he did because I was going to touch it tonight, is the story of the prodigal son. The son that stayed home and did the work while the one son left, he didn't not receive what he was supposed to receive. He still got everything he was supposed to get, but he was more caught up in what the other son got for returning because he wasn't around to do the work. Was anything taken away from the other son? Was anything stripped from him? Did he not get what he deserved? No, but we're so caught up sometimes, and woe is me. I did all the work. I should be getting the credit. Why are we giving anything to him? Well, guess what? None of us deserve anything that we get. Give God the glory. Quit trying to take the credit our own selves. We move over to Genesis chapter 39. Whoops, I skipped too many pages. Genesis chapter 39, we see Joseph as a slave in Egypt. His brothers, they took him, they sold him off. They wanted to kill him. They decided, well, we can't have his blood on our hands. Then they decided, you know, we'll just leave him in this pit. Then they decided, no, let's take him out of the pit and let's sell him. Let's sell him off to be a slave. So not only can they get rid of him, but maybe they can make a little money at it. Let's get rid of this guy. So now Joseph is a slave in Egypt. He'd been taken down to Egypt and to Potiphar. An officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him. Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did prosper in his hand. Do you ever look at somebody and think, man, everything just goes right for them? How do we handle that? Do we handle it with jealousy, or do we look like, hey, good for them? That's great. I think too often we look at it with jealousy and we're like, oh, this is horrible. How come that doesn't go right for me? This was somebody that saw Joseph and they're like, hey, the Lord must be with him because everything, you know, he's kind of got the Midas touch, if you want to call it that. Everything that happens goes right in his hand. So he's like, I'm going to give this guy more and more responsibilities. I'm going to make him the most powerful person in my household besides me. Joseph was sent away out of hatred. He could have very easily just fallen. You know what? I just can't keep doing this. But he said, no, the Lord is with me, and I'm going to do his will. And he's in this bad situation, sold as a slave, sent to Potiphar's house, and he's like, I'm just going to keep working for the Lord and go in the direction that the Lord sends me. It may not be my choice, but it's the Lord's will. And now he's being rewarded for it. What a reward this is. So it comes to pass that Potiphar's wife sees Joseph and she's like, hey, I like this guy over here. So Potiphar's wife continues to tease Joseph and tempt Joseph and say, hey, come lie with me. My husband's gone. Potiphar's gone. You don't need to, you know, just come over here. And Joseph's like, no. Like, you're going to get me in trouble. This isn't good. I can't do this. You know, we did this a couple years ago at CCYC. We did temptations. JB was Joseph and Megan was Potiphar's wife. JB told her no. She just hauled off and smacked him right across the face. I mean, Dylan and I were on the other side of the curtain getting ready for our next scene. And there was a smack heard around the world. Asher ran out of the room crying. It was nuts. It was crazy. So here's a guy, Joseph, doing the right thing and gets in trouble for it. So Potiphar's wife has his garment. And then she goes and she's mad at Joseph because, well, who says no to me, right? So she's mad at Joseph. So she takes that garment of Joseph's and takes it and shows Potiphar, look, he, you know, I have his garment because he laid with me. When it was actually the contrary. So Potiphar then says, hey, see you later, buddy. Out. moves on. And we covered that story in a nutshell there. Here's another time all Joseph's doing is trying to do the work of the Lord, and he gets kicked down. He had plans when he was younger, dreams of what he could become. His brothers didn't like that, cut him down, sent him off. Worked hard, got back up to prominence. Somebody didn't like the way he was handling that, cut him down, kicked him out. Does it feel like that in our lives at times, that we just don't catch the break? It feels like I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, and somehow I keep getting knocked down to square one. He gets sent off to prison. He starts reading, he's interpreting dreams. The guard makes him in charge of all the prisoners, second in charge, only behind the guard now. And we're going to skip forward here to chapter 42. He starts working for Pharaoh. Pharaoh brings him up. Now, not just as Potiphar did in his own household, make him second in command in his own household, but Pharaoh has elevated Joseph to second in command over all of Egypt behind only Pharaoh. And this is where we got to make a choice. As Christians, we look at this story, we talk about Joseph's brothers come to Egypt. They come to Egypt, and Joseph instantly recognizes who they are. And Joseph, they're not all there, and he says, go back and bring the youngest. And they're like, well, we're not thieves. Joseph calls them thieves, but he knows exactly who they are. They talk behind his back, not knowing that Joseph can actually understand what they're saying, because Joseph used an interpreter to talk to them the whole time. And they don't know who Joseph is. Joseph could have done multiple things here. And I don't want to end the story here, but I want us to think about the different branches of where Joseph could have went. Where would you have gone when you see your brothers who tried to kill you, who wanted you gone, who sold you away to profit simply because they were jealous? How would you react? And again, I'm not talking about our immediate families that we look at on earth. I'm talking about our church family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. How do we react to that? Do we give opportunity back? Do we hold them accountable? And I see a lot of parallels between this part of Joseph's life and this part of the story in Genesis and the book of Philemon and the road that Philemon could have taken with Onesimus and the options that he had and how he could have reacted there. And I think that we need to evaluate those in our lives. When they came back, he sent them away. They went and told his father. They wanted to bring Benjamin. He told him to bring Benjamin back with them. He ended up having a feast with them at the end. He ended up giving them everything they wanted in a feast. And then he also told them, there's food here because I was elevated to a position of high power. And I love the verse there. Genesis 45, 4 through 8, verses here, it says, and Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near, then he said, I am Joseph. I am your brother, whom you sold to Egypt. Now imagine the brothers. What are they thinking? They're thinking, oh my goodness, he's going to put us in prison. He's going to kill us. How do we handle this? He has the right. He has been lifted up to this great power that he told us about in his dreams when he was younger. And now he actually has the authority to do away with us. But let's follow what Joseph does here. In verse 5, he says, but now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves. So instantly right there, he's telling them, don't be mad at yourselves. He's bringing that barrier down. He's dropping that barrier between him and his brothers, because he didn't start off saying, I'm mad at you. I'm not sad with you guys. He didn't make it about himself. He showed compassion, concern, and love for his brothers. He said, hey, don't be angry and grieved with yourselves. Because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. He's letting them know, hey, you put me in a position to do God's work greater than I could have ever done on my own because I allow God to work through my life. He says, for these 2 years, in verse 6, famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve the posterity for you and the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here. Now he's breaking it down for him. He's explaining to him, you thought you guys were in control? You thought you had this great plan? No, it wasn't your plan. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord to all of his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Sometimes dreams get broken. Our pathway gets blocked off. Our road gets destroyed. Our car breaks down. We lose sight of where we're going. We want to blame others. We want to blame ourselves. We want to shout. We want to curse at. We want to destroy those who prevented us from doing what our plan was. But maybe instead of complaining about the others around us, maybe instead of being worried about what's going to happen, because that's not how we saw this going, maybe we fasten our seatbelt and go for the ride rather than worry about the drive. God's got a bigger plan. When we get worried about our plans getting foiled, because that's not how I saw this going, are we being a hindrance to what God's plan is for us? Are we being a hindrance to those around us for them growing in God's plan? Do we become that struggle for somebody else? Where do we fit in? Sometimes we spend so much time trying to figure out how to rework our plan to make sure it works that we miss the plan that was set out for us to begin with. You want to be successful. You don't want to have to worry about plans in life. Make sure your plans line up with God's direction. Success will come in ways that you never saw coming. You'll meet people. You'll make relationships and friendships and become family with people that you never saw ever before. But if you're not willing to buckle your seatbelt and go for the ride, if you're not willing to open the door and step in the car, then it doesn't matter. You can sing Jesus Take the Wheel all you want, but if you're not willing to let him go, you won't be on the same pathway as the direction that he set out for you. Don't be a hindrance to others on their path and their work for God. There may be jealousy at times. There may be woe is me at times. Don't let that be the destruction of you. And in fact, use that so you can encourage them. Life's tough. It's not always going to go the way we planned. Dreams get destroyed. Plans get ruined. Our plans get ruined. Our dreams get destroyed. God has a plan. Are you willing to follow that plan? Are you willing to accept Jesus Christ as the one to take control? Joseph said, no matter where you take me, you can do as much bad as you want. I'm going to keep doing the work of the Lord. And every time he was sent away, he was lifted higher. And then even when he had the opportunity to face those who sent him off and wanted him dead, he looked at them and said, don't be sad, don't be angry. Because of you, because of your plan and your thoughts, God showed you his plan. And it saved your lives. So I just ask you, as we close tonight, as Drake comes up, what's your plan? Does it line up with God's plan? Are you willing to believe in Jesus Christ? Are you willing to accept him as your Lord and Savior? Are you willing to repent of your sins and turn the opposite way and allow Jesus to work in your life? Are you willing to be immersed and put on the blood of Christ so that your struggles don't have to be your struggles. For Jesus says to allow him to put on that yoke for us and help carry that with us. And by putting on the blood of Jesus Christ, that is exactly what he'll do. You can join God's family, part of that kingdom, through Jesus Christ. That's not going to be easy. There's still going to be struggles. But now you've got somebody to take you in the right direction. And you don't have to stress. You don't have to worry. There's a whole family ready to be there to prop you up. And then, after immersion, you put on that new body of Christ. Walk faithfully. Live faithfully. Help those learn about Jesus, share Jesus, and show the world what God's plan is. Thank you.